The Idaho Supreme Court hearing some of the Brian Koberger case, making a significant ruling in it regarding their motion to dismiss. Of course, Koberger accused of the quadruple murder, the University of Idaho students on the campus on Tuesday. The court denied Koberger's appeal request to toss out his grand jury indictment, making it a pivotal moment and the ongoing legal proceedings, because you know they actually could have done that. The odds were not great, but they could have done that. In response to the appeal, the court granted Koberger's request to seal the contents of his motion, adding another layer of confidentiality to the proceedings. Koberger's appeal to dismiss the grand jury indictment has been denied by the Idaho Supreme Court. State of the court's ruling, revealing the decision on the pivotal legal maneuver. However, the court further added, "We've granted the request to seal documents pertaining to the appeal." Amid the legal saga surrounding Brian Koberger's case, the defense raised a critical point, alleging that jurors received improper instructions during the indictment process. They argue that the standard probable cause has been mistakenly applied instead of the more stringent beyond a reasonable doubt, a criterion typically reserved for convicting suspects, not indicting them. The problem lies within Idaho, where a very, very old thing on the books says beyond a reasonable doubt, but that's not how you indict someone. So it just, and nobody's ever gone back and corrected it, basically, is what it comes down to.
Which they need to, if they're going to hold it to that standard.
I think they need to change it, because if we're going to argue legalese, let's make sure it's correct.
Well, and aren't there some states, I always remember this one, because I'm from Minnesota, I think you can't put like a duck on your head. It's illegal.
You can't put like that's just a law?
It's just a law in the books. Something about you can't put a, or maybe it's a wet duck. I don't, it's some absolute bizarre thing, but it's still sitting on the books.
Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to enforce this, they absolutely could.
Howard,
I'm going to look it up.
Okay. Despite acknowledging the defense's creative arguments, which they are, I mean, they're, I guess, historical. Lato County Judge John Judge, you also can't have a judge named Judge, but they do, dismissed the appeal in January. He cited legal precedent emphasizing that the standard of beyond a reasonable doubt was not mandatory for the indictment purposes, because it never has been.
Yeah.
But Ann Taylor, being the attorney you probably want if you slaughtered four college students, she tried to argue it. She argued it with John Judge, and now she took it to the Supreme Court, and that's where the argument ends. Under
I did find what I was looking for, by the way.
Oh, we'll go to that in a second. Undeterred by the ruling, Koberger's public defender took the case to the state Supreme Court. Despite her efforts, the court stood by its decision, maintaining the indictment's validity. The ruling upholds the integrity of the grand jury process, remarked a spokesperson for the prosecution, emphasizing the importance of adhering to legal standards in such high-profile cases. The defense has requested to relocate the trial from Lato County, where the murder case and all of it took place in this aftermath has captivated its population of 40,000 people late in 2022. A hearing for this motion opposed by prosecutors is scheduled for May 14th. Koberger faces four counts of first-degree murder, one count of burglary in connection with the deaths of Ethan Chapin, Kaylee Gonzalez, Zena Kernodle, and Madison Mogan, who were found stabbed to death in the house near the University of Idaho campus. There's still going to be a lot more motions and hearings in this, as we still don't even have a firm trial date. Another hearing scheduled for April 17th to address Koberger's request to move the trial out of Lato County, a motion based on those concerns of the publicity. Here's the deal. No matter where you go, it's the biggest case in the country. It will continue to be until it has taken place. But right now, something more important.
This is a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Breaking news on duck legislation in the state of Minnesota. Here's Stacey Cole with the latest.
At this time of this recording, it is illegal to cross state lines with a duck on your head. Okay? You cannot enter Minnesota from another state while wearing a chicken or a duck on your head. And although the history of this law is yet unknown, it is still in force and on the books today as we speak.
So is it simply entering the state, or once you're in the state, can you take a native duck and put it on your head? Or is this strictly while crossing state lines?
Crossing state lines. You cannot do it with a duck atop your head.
So you can carry a duck in, though, like, say, from Wisconsin over the Mississippi. It just can't be on your head.
Well, citizens may not enter Wisconsin either with a chicken on their head. So you do need to be careful which fowl and poultry you put on your head and then cross state lines.
Well, that's good news to have. I think it's something a lot of us have contemplated many times throughout our life. And it's good to know what the laws are so we don't face incarceration. That's our latest poultry and fowl update. Stay with us for more.
This has been a special report from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Okay, back to Koberger now. I'm glad we got that bit of information. Yeah. So they tried it. They went all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said "fuck off." What's amazing? I wonder how many taxpayer dollars were spent so Ann Taylor could make that argument.
There's a lot of money being spent in this community on this case, and it hasn't even started yet.
Well, they'd spent thousands of dollars early on. On media experts that went in and said, and just to say, oh, so-and-so has so much clout over this case, or so-and-so is influencing the case this way, or public opinion this way. Who cares? What does that even matter? What does that even matter at the end of the day? Hundreds of thousands of dollars of packed taxpayer money went to them saying, It's so insane that that Jennifer Coffendaffer has made these statements, which she was in the report, and she's on with us every day. That her statements out there on the case were affecting the case. It's insane.
But people are going to be talking about these cases. They are absolutely sensational. It was a horrific crime. There are four people who are dead.
Yeah.
This has captivated the nation, if not the world. This was being talked about over in the UK, for heaven's sakes. They want some closure to this case. So, yeah, people are going to talk about it. We're still talking about O.J. Simpson and the car chase. I've heard that come up in the last week or two for some reason. So these things stick with people. That's how people work. We love a good train wreck.
Yeah, I think you're right. I just don't know why on earth those dollars. There need to be a little bit more oversight, I think, on like where the dollars can be spent or not. I get on the defense, but I mean, come on. I mean, what are we trying to prove here with, yes, people are talking about this case?
Yeah,
that's a good point. I mean, it's kind of like a given. Like, yes, they are talking about it. I'm glad we could spend $100,000 confirming that is indeed going on. I don't know. It's baffling. Do you think? I mean, I've made a gazillion arguments against this of moving the case somewhere else, because that's what they're going to try and do. That's going to be probably the argument of the summer in the Koberger saga, and it'll probably go back and forth a bit. In my opinion, look, this community has been going through hell. They've been dragged through hell with all of this. A lot of media descending on the town, a lot of gawkers, probably more than media, descending on the town with the morbid, true crime tourism that exists. Should it be moved somewhere else? Or?
Well, then you're going to subject yet another community to the same sensationalism.
Are you going
to
get a better
building?
Are you going to get an unbiased jury pool in another community compared to here, though?
No, I really don't think so, unless you move it to an entirely different state. And still, who knows? You may end up with a jury pool of people who listen to us, for example, or sit and watch, court TV all day long. There, people with internet, YouTube, TikTok, everybody has exposure to this. You're not going to find somebody who hasn't heard of this. I mean, maybe to certain details, but the general population out there has a working knowledge of who Brian Koberger is. Well,
and I also say this too, is it a fair trial if your people on the jury have no clue about the case? I mean, that also speaks to me about that individual's in touch with reality or in touch with society and what's going on around them and current events. If you are going to move this anywhere in that area and somebody has zero clue that this has happened at all, I don't know that that's going to be the most objective juror either or the most well thought out juror if they're that oblivious to something this big that's happening around them. I don't know. I mean, it's always a weird thing when it comes to juries of being oblivious to your surroundings and going, those are the ones we want on the jury. You know?
Well, when I was being questioned for a jury this past summer, there was somebody that they were questioning who admitted that they have never used a computer. It's 2024.
I wouldn't want that person.
Yeah, and the case that I was being set up for was a pornography case. It was somebody who was caught with, I believe it was 9 or 10 pictures of child porn.
Yeah.
And so they were asking about our computer ability and, mm-hmm. you know, how often do we use computers? What do we use computers for? And the one person on the jury who is, or not on the jury, but being questioned, said, I've never used a computer. And the attorney actually kind of stepped back and said, well, you've used one, you just don't have one. And they said, no, I've never been on a computer before.
Then you shouldn't be on that jury at all. I mean, you need to have at least an understanding. It's like saying, I've never seen an automobile and it's an automobile accident that you're trying figure out there. I actually,
so, yeah, it's very important to have at least a background knowledge of things. You know, do you want like a knife manufacturer person on the jury for Brian Koberger? I don't know. Are you too much of an expert at that point? Hard to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, something like that I think might work. In my hands here, I hold my jury summons that I just got in the mail yesterday.
Oh, no. Well, you know what?
Luckily,
it's for
the wrong
experience.
County.
All you have to do is tell them what you do for a living.
I plan on doing that.
True crime podcast producer got me booted right away.
I don't even need to do that because it's actually for the wrong county. It's for the county below me because they believe they still have me registered there since I moved up to another county a year ago. So all I have to do is check the box and say, not a resident of the county anymore.
Yeah. Well, that'll help you.
But after that, I think I would just put a link up to the podcast and go, Do you really want me as a juror?
Want to listen ad-free? Want advance access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.